What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent Jerry, stopping by to let you know Dom love the podcast, man.
Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwoods, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, staph, E. coli, MRSA, salmonella, strep, kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the official Dom J Radio Show. On this episode, I'm joined by a very special guest, a close friend, a fellow author, a world traveler, and a woman of many other talents as well. JC Frazier, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dom. Happy to be on your podcast. Thanks.
Of course. So Where am I catching you right now? As somebody that I know spends a lot of time abroad and on the road in general, where are you now?
That is the most common question people ask me on a day-to-day basis. I'm currently in Vermont, up in the Northeast.
Okay. And you're originally from the New Jersey area, so is it just new parts of Vermont currently, or was it all new to you the first time around?
Being from New Jersey, nope, I never went more north than New Jersey. I think I saw it when I was growing up that I was better than the rest of the Northeast because I was from New Jersey. But I discovered that's not true. Now, my first time up in Vermont was when I first started on my van trip around the country, and I passed through the state for about a week. Mm-hmm. But my boyfriend's parents live up here, and we've been staying with them for a little bit while we do some repairs on mine and my boyfriend's van.
Okay. And because, like, you're one of the most fascinating people I've gotten to meet since college. You are basically a trendsetter and a person that's going against the grain, insofar as I know, in the traditional expectations one might imagine for themselves in these sort of post-college years. But how have you been able to sort of make that shift away from all the conventions to, again, like living abroad and then being here in the States and being able to have the sort of ability to and flex to go cross country as you need to? It's very fun to watch on the internet, by the way.
I'm glad, because sometimes I wonder if I'm doing it right at all. It is mm-hmm. definitely not the convention, and that means that my life milestones are met in a whole different order than everybody else's.
Right.
For example, traveling around the globe happened when I was 25, and that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, money, I don't honestly have much money, and I haven't had much money for a long time. When I first started traveling abroad, over to Europe, I booked one my ticket there, and I bought the cheapest flight that went over the Atlantic, and it was $180 to Toulouse, France. And so I went over there, and I knew I didn't have a lot of money to spend on fancy hotels or resorts, so I did work exchanges where I could stay for free at somebody's mm-hmm. cottage or whatever and do some work for them, like gardening or taking their dogs for walks or helping their kids learn English.
That helped
me a lot to get around the countries in Europe. I also started teaching English, and English is my degree from college, of course.
Right.
So I started teaching English as a second language once I got an online certification over in Thailand, and I was able to stay there for 5 months and even save up a little bit of money while I was doing that.
Nice. Thailand, it seems so far away. And coming back to that flight price, though, I could not imagine going. I don't even know where I could go right now for $180. But that sounds like, to be able to leave here and go basically across the pond, as they say, that sounds like a dream come true. And scary at the same time.
You know, it's easier than you think. There are a lot of nonstop flights from the East Coast to Rome. It's mm-hmm. eight hours. You fly overnight. You nap on the plane. You get there in the morning. and they're usually some of the cheapest ones to Europe. If you look on Google Flights, if you use their app, they have an Explorer option, and you can view many different airports in different countries or continents, and it'll compare prices for you, and you can zoom in on different cities, and you can compare prices all at one time by looking at them. So you can say it's $300 to go to Paris, but it's only $200 to go to Barcelona, so maybe I'll go to Barcelona.
Yeah, that's not a bad compensation if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, well, granted, those are for one-way tickets. The cost would probably be minimum $500 for a transatlantic flight. But, you know, the cost of flights are going up and down every day, literally, so who knows? But, yeah, it didn't really matter where I was going at that time. I really just wanted to go.
Okay.
It was really a good opportunity to test myself, taking that one-way ticket and just sort of knowing, really, that I'll figure it out somehow, not knowing how I'll figure it out or what tools I'll have or what I even want in a month. But it was great. I stayed at the cottage where I was in France for about 6 weeks until I found another place to go in Spain. Had spent a lot of money in Madrid, and then went back to Slovenia when I went to Germany. There are, you know, a few different work exchanges around the places, but I think I'm getting off topic. I don't remember which question was. Sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. I was about to ask you just what was your favorite, you know, I'm a foodie at heart, what was your favorite spot that, you know, you wouldn't have expected to get great food from, but you end up finding some of the best food in?
Food. All right. My favorite food that I had in the whole world, and I mean it, was in Sicily. And it's called an arancini, which just means orange in Italian, because it's a fried ball. It's rice mixed with whatever sort of ingredients. Usually they have a ragu, which is like a meat sauce mixed in with rice, maybe cheese, and then it's a big ball. And then it's battered and breaded and fried. And you eat it with your hand, like it's an apple, and it's just, it makes all your problems disappear, and there's no better food.
Okay, I'm going to have to put that on my international to-eat list, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Every once in a while, I can find, like, an Italian place in the States that makes arancini, and I'm like, oh, no, you don't really. And then I get really excited and I order them and I eat them. And I'm only ever slightly disappointed.
Well, you know, that's part of it. I'm sure it's got to be hard to capture that true essence of it, bringing it way across here. But I'm sure some people are down to try.
That's funny that you, talking about not having or having low expectations of food in America. When I came back from Thailand, I didn't eat any Thai food for like 2 years. Because I didn't have the courage to go into any Thai restaurant just knowing that food would be not the same.
Right.
But I've since found some Thai food that is quite comparable. So don't give up.
Well, there you go. There you go, foodies. So I know in the midst of this, like making the jump, one-way ticket, different country, you decide also to write a book, right? In the midst of this, Fearless You, Mastering Dating, Sex, and Breakups as a Woman in College. So you were really on that independent journey, I feel like, and we're documenting it at a part of that portion as well. So what was the motivation there?
Oh yeah, that book was a journey in itself. While I was in college, I found myself in a very toxic, controlling, mentally abusive relationship that I spent very much time, once I finally got out of that, wondering how the heck could I have gone into that? Like, I know I'm a strong, independent person, and I know I stick up for myself. How can I end up in a situation so awful?
Right.
And not know or not try to get out of it. And the more time I spent thinking about that, the more I realized is that's just what I was told it would be like. I moved in with this guy after a few months, which is a terrible mistake, first of all. But the truth of it was, I was taught that after you graduate college, then you settle down and you start a life with someone. And don't worry, there's going to be rough patches. Sometimes those rough patches will last for years, but you just get through it. And I just thought life wasn't all that good, and it wasn't supposed to be. So I wanted to write a book that would really pinpoint the details that nobody talks about, or at least nobody talked to me about when I was growing up or when I was in college,
right,
about having sex and having breakups. It's all really influential, and it can not just ruin like your college experience, but maybe you get married too early, or you know, whatever the case is, maybe you can end up in a toxic situation, an abusive situation. And it's easy, and it's almost encouraged in our society. So my goal with the book was just to sort of give women in college a buddy, maybe like a girl to go get drinks with, to talk about what, you know, the things are you don't talk about normally with your friends or your family, of what am I supposed to feel, you know, after this happens, or when I have this terribly difficult and terrifying conversation with my boyfriend or significant other, what do I do after that happens? And there are no answers, you can just guess. So the basis of that book was to not just about, you know, romantic life, but more deeply to encourage women to think differently, to dare to live life a little bit differently than what they're told is right.
I love it. I love that. And thank you again for just sharing, obviously, that truth and exposing yourself. I feel like often as writers, that's part of the journey, and that's why we can sometimes be, as some might cast us, overly sensitive about our stuff. But it's oftentimes, again, just bringing episodes of truth, episodes that are relevant to your life, and sort of letting the world in on those. And that takes a lot of balls in that sense. Pardon the French there. But it really does.
I don't often mention I talk to people. Which, I mean, I should, right? I don't know. It's you're right. It's a weird relationship that writers have with their own writing. It's like you love it, but then also you want to rip it to pieces at the same time.
Yes. I found that can often be one of the biggest holdups. I get stuck sometimes just being an editor, sometimes realizing, like, if you're a writer, you should be writing more than editing, man. You got to compartmentalize, really put it in the right context. I get that.
Yep.
But now that you've seemingly found love, there's been a pandemic. What is this whirlwind of activity been like for you over the last couple of years? I feel like I've seen you, obviously, within this time frame, but still, you know, I feel like I've moved, I know you've moved, and that may be like before and after we've seen each other in the last couple of years. So do tell.
That's true. I went to your wedding in my van in November 2020, right?
October 2020, yeah.
October 2020, and that was in Houston, and it was so hot. It was like 80 degrees during the day, 90 degrees at night, and I'm sleeping in my van, and I'm just like, oh my god, it's so hot down here, but I gotta go to Dom's wedding.
I appreciate you sweating it out. It's better than it is now. I trust me, living here now, it's definitely hotter than it was then, even though we weren't here for too long there, but trust me, it's hotter now.
I believe you. Then the next time I saw you, I visited you in Jacksonville on my way out of Florida. We had lunch, we hung out, and you got to see my van then.
I did.
That was when my trip was really just starting to start. I had traveled around the Northeast for a couple of months at the end of 2020. Then January 2021, I hit the road full time in my van, and I was living, you know, just on the road. I spent about a month and a half in Florida, and I tried to do a 1 week in every state ordeal, and that was just silly because I wanted to stay places so much longer than 1 week. And so I journeyed around. I looked for, I guess, some sort of something, some familiarity in all of the different environments and events that I was experiencing. I didn't know, though, that that's what I was looking for until I got to Arizona and I found Sedona, which is a desert town, but okay. It has a lot of culture and a lot of public land all around it, where a lot of people living in vans or buses or truck toppers or Priuses will all gather just on their, of their own accord to camp for a few nights, do a lot of hiking in the area and such. And I ended up camping next to another van and also a short bus. And
okay.
They welcomed me into their group. I ended up that same night getting invited down the street to somebody's bus birthday party, and we gathered around a campfire and we played dictionary. And everybody there, there were like a dozen people there, all had their own vehicles that they were living and traveling in. And it was the first time I met almost anybody doing that, let alone a whole group of people. And it gave me so much hope of, okay, great, I can live my life differently and still find familiarity.
Find the community so, for you, yeah.
That was a big milestone of the trip. And then, you know, here and there, I met more and more people living in vans and other vehicles. And on Instagram, it's really how you stay connected. Almost, I mean, a lot of people post about their travels on Instagram. So you can just follow them and be like, oh, hey, you're in Oregon. I'm coming to Oregon next week. Are you still going to be there? Let's camp together. Stuff like that.
Okay.
So me and my current boyfriend, a little over a year ago, were friends on Instagram. And we were like, hey, we're passing each other in Olympic National Park up in Washington. Do you want to camp at the same place? And so we ended up making that work. We found a logging road in the forest that had a big dirt patch, and we both parked on the dirt patch. And then we had a couple beers, and the next day we went on an extreme bike riding, hiking, and hot spring adventure with a couple of friends who also joined us at our dirt patch. So it started off with a big adventure in the beginning, and well, I love big adventure, so naturally it wasn't long before I fell in love with him. We just continued camping together. We went our own ways at some points to do this or to, you know, go hike that, and then we got back together. We now we're both visiting his parents up in Vermont, and we just passed our 1 year anniversary, which is maybe embarrassing to say, my first 1 year anniversary, but I love it and I love him and I'm really happy about it.
Aww. Well, congratulations. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. I feel like they just didn't matter beforehand, you know, and that's perfectly all right after your own assessment of things.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think I'm very critical when I am in relationships. I mean, I wrote a book about relationships, but I'm very critical from the get-go of, okay, what is wrong? What is everything that's wrong right now? And there just wasn't much. And time kept going on and things just kept being better. So now here I am, all happy and taken.
Look at you, all happy and taken. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Oh, I know you and Cosmo are never ones to really settle for too long, and now we've added also boyfriend to the mix. So what's next on this journey for you? Where are you looking to make the, or where are you guys, I guess, looking to make that next big journey to?
So all three of us will be adventuring together. Me, my cat Cosmo, and Mike. My cat is on van though. But for the time being, we're in repair mode. In December of last year, we got in a car wreck and totaled his van and my van. And I had to junk my van and buy a bus to build that out. And so I'm almost done building out that shuttle bus. And Mike is still fighting insurance on trying to get his van repaired. So things are taking longer than we thought. Don't ask me about my opinion on insurance companies because we have to bleep out a lot of the remaining episodes.
That's all right. That's all right.
But once the insurance companies let us continue our life,
right,
we will be back on the road. Hopefully this winter we will be heading to warm weather. We've been throwing out ideas like Florida or Southern California, maybe Baja, Arizona. We both love Arizona. So we have pretty much anywhere and anything on our travel checklist to go. And we're anxious to get our tires on the pavement.
I bet. The world is really you guys' oyster in that regard. I love being able to watch the builds. I know you put them on Instagram. Obviously, people should follow you on Instagram if they aren't already. But I know you also put the longer films or the longer build videos still on your YouTube. Go ahead and drop all the socials on the people so they can follow this journey as well.
Absolutely. I post much more commonly on my Instagram at FearlessJC. My YouTube is also Fearless JC. I haven't been posting any videos with the bus on YouTube, but they're all my build videos from the van, which I did do on a budget while working in the winter in New Jersey in my parking lot.
Boom, talk your shit. There you go.
It was, yeah, an adventure for sure, to start off the rest of the adventures. But yeah, so Instagram and YouTube, my overseas travels are all documented on YouTube. That was, I think I made like 230 videos while I was abroad. Something ridiculous. I sure had a lot of ambition with that.
Well, hey, you built a loyal following off of that, and it's only continued even as you've come back to the States and your journeys have switched more to the soil here versus international. I know you've still got that budding audience, so I'm sure they appreciate it.
I think so. I think that they're excited. I get a lot of comments, mostly on my Instagram now, about, hey, I'm so glad you're still doing this, or where are you now, kind of things. And that always makes it kind of nice.
For sure. Well, Miss World Traveler, Miss JC Fraser, thank you for stopping by the official Dom J Radio Show and spending some time with us talking about what it takes to live abroad, some of the best food that people can look forward to finding on their abroad trips, and just the freedom that comes from taking the world less traveled. I just wanted to again say thank you for your time today.
Thanks, anytime. I can talk about traveling for hours and hours and hours on end. You'll have to cut me off. So thank you for doing so. yeah, call me back anytime. I love it.
For sure. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Episode 37, The Road Less Traveled. The official Dom J Radio Show. Special shout out to my guest, JC Fraser, for joining us on the podcast and spending some time talking about international travel, food for all my foodies, and of course, living life to the maximum. Thank you again, as always, if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Thank you for sharing, liking, and subscribing, as always. Please continue to do so as it helps grow the show. The appreciation is always there for y'all for doing that, just for me, you know what I'm saying? As always, in the meantime, in between time, stay hydrated, stick to minding your business, and drinking plenty of water. I hope y'all been drinking water since I've been gone. I really do. I hope nobody's still real thirsty out there, especially to start the new year. But anyway, thank you for listening. Until next time, peace.